Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. A Pike County middle school earlier this week closed amid concerns about potential radioactive contamination from the nearby Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. The Cold War era plant, which sits on 3,000 acres, in 2001 ceased production of weapons-grade enriched uranium. A cleanup of the site has been underway since 2011. WOSU reporter Nick Evans has been covering this story. He joins us now. Welcome back, Nick.
Hey, anytime. Happy to be here.
How is the community just in general? What's your sense about the reaction to this news?
Certainly concern, right? I mean, it's about what you would expect. Most of the folks that I talked to when I was out there, though, really were kind of hesitant to speak with me. You know, the gaseous diffusion plant, like you said, it's been shuttered. But right now they're working on a major project to decommission and decontaminate. That's the official terminology for it.
And a lot of people are employed doing that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So if you don't work there yourself, you have a family member who does, or you know you know somebody who used to work at the plant before it closed down. So there are a lot of connections between the people that live there and the place, and so they are the people that I spoke with are certainly concerned, but they also aren't really quite sure yet what to make of it.
There are people that I've heard and read in the paper and in different reports and heard that say, well, if they're going to close down the middle school, what about us? We live even closer to the plant.
Right. Yeah. That was absolutely the take that I got from the people who did want to talk with me. You know, the things that they have picked up, right, the enriched uranium that they found at the school, like on the school grounds, and the different radioactive elements, I think it's neptunium and americium, that were picked up at an air monitoring site across the street. I mean, those things are you know, floating from the plant, they seem to believe. So if they're able to be picked up by an air monitoring station across the road from the middle school, it can absolutely go a couple hundred yards more to your house or into they're concerned into the water supply. There's a woman that I'm sure you've heard about, Elizabeth Lamerson,
right,
who was deeply engaged in pushing for the Department of Energy not to dispose of the waste on site. Right. Because she's a fence line neighbor.
And that's something they've been
right.
Debating for a long time now, where to store this stuff.
Right. Right. And so for people who live so close like her, it's deeply frustrating because, you know, we have examples that they've been able to find of the elements that are potentially dangerous to people going beyond the four walls of the diffusion plant, and so that creates a lot of health risks for them, and they're concerned that things aren't being done at least well enough to ensure that they stay safe.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I'm talking with WOSU News reporter Nick Evans about the decision this week to shutter a Pike County middle school amid concerns about potential radioactive contamination from the nearby Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. It's a Cold War era plant that produced weapons-grade enriched uranium. It sits on 3,000 acres in Pike County and in 2001 ceased production. A cleanup of the site has been underway since 2011. If you have a question or comment, we're going to hear from a former lead scientist at the plant coming up later on in the program. If you want to queue up, I have questions for him. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Nick Evans, why is a 2017 test result only just coming to light? What's that about? That's 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So the air monitoring station picks up various things in the air, right? Department of Energy goes through all of the data that those monitoring stations pick up, and they generate reports from it. But they take quite a while to do. And so actually, at the beginning of this week, they learned that there was a different element, like I said, americium,
right,
that the monitoring station picked up in 2018. And they just learned about that today. The data for the 2018 report is all in, but they haven't been able to, you know, pull it all together and make the report. So That's why you're seeing these come so far after the fact. It's worth mentioning the Department of Energy has insisted that that what they picked up at the monitoring station is far, far below the level that you would consider a public health concern. And so one would hope that if it had been something that was a public health concern, they would have been more aggressive in letting people know. But we just really have no indication one way or the other about that.
And people are concerned, though, about a lack of transparency.
Right, right. I mean, if you find out that something happened 2 years ago, I think it's natural to be pretty skeptical. Like, wait, you're saying this thing that could be dangerous, but you're saying isn't dangerous, happened 2 years ago and you just didn't let us know. I mean, that's you can absolutely imagine why that would be frustrating.
They have asked the Department of Energy to cease the decontamination and decommissioning of the plant for now, and the Department of Energy has said it will not do that.
Yes, yes. Their response has, you know, basically been, you know, we are deeply concerned about the potential for you know, these elements getting out there and harming the health of the neighbors, the local residents. And so they're working to try to allay concerns by paying for a third party group to go out and test. Now, the folks that I spoke with were frustrated because the firm that they first suggested appears to be someone that the Department of Energy works with or has worked with before. So they felt as though that wasn't all that independent. But right now, where things sit is that the Department of Energy is going to pay for a third party to come through, test the school and other nearby areas to try to make sure that, you know, nothing is there that should be harmful. What happens if they find stuff that is harmful? I can't even imagine what would happen then.
You published a story yesterday for WOSU about the cancer rates in Pike County.
I did.
They're number two in the state behind Perry County, I guess, mm-hmm. Which is a whole
other. I think it's actually Vinton
County.
I wouldn't swear to it.
Yeah. Okay. And sorry to Perry County. what do we, you know, what do we know about that? Is one more kind of cancer more prevalent than others? Is it mostly people who worked at the plant or?
I mean, it's far, far too soon to say anything, anything like that. What I was looking at was the overall incidence of cancer, and not even cancer mortality. I'm just looking
people
at
who have gotten cancer,
people who have contracted cancer, in the area. It is high. It is higher than the statewide rate, but it's also not wildly higher than the statewide rate. We're looking at about like 10%, 10 percentage points higher. Than what you see for the entire state. And then also you have to keep in mind that behavioral patterns that could lead to cancer, things like smoking.
They've known it's a cancer belt for a long time. Right, there's nothing new about that. Yeah.
So there is certainly a higher than average incidence there, but being able to really tie that to this plant or to the specific work being done right now with the decontamination and decommissioning, it's just way too soon to say. The other thing that should be mentioned, kind of like the air monitoring station, you know, there's a long lag time in this data. I mean, this is like a 5-year rolling average completed in like 2016.
Yeah,
but that's the most recent data that we have. So what's happened since, it's hard to say. You know, there are plenty of anecdotal stories, but—
Well, one of them is that five students in the last 5 years have been diagnosed with cancer while attending that school.
Mm-hmm. Schools in the area.
Yeah. Okay. Is that significant?
Well, I think that depends on your perspective. I mean, for the families, absolutely. For the people that, you know, go to school with those kids, absolutely. The fact that, you know, from what I've heard, at least some of those cancers are fairly rare cancers, that certainly gives pause. But, you know,
we just don't know.
It's difficult to say that, you know, those stories, no matter how heart-wrenching they are directly connected to this. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, it's really important to, you know, keep all of those in mind, but, you know, bracket them and make sure that it's that we don't get, you know, too far ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there is a relation between the two, that will come out eventually. And we can talk about it then.
The school closed just 8 days early before the end of the year. And I guess they'll probably pull classes together or whatever they have to do to manage that. But have we heard from education officials in Pike County or at the state level that talk about what it would take to reopen the schools? I mean, if the Department of Energy is saying that these levels are not dangerous and not concern worthy, and yet they closed it down anyways, what – if it have they said what the tipping point will be to reopen?
Ooh, that's a I hate to just keep giving you like too soon to say as
that's
the answer,
okay.
But the thing that we should clarify, the schools were shut down by the local school board in response to, you know, what they had seen. The Department of Energy wasn't the prime mover in that.
Right.
The school board I think is sort of crossing their fingers at this point, being really, you know, patient and hopeful.
That the next readings will say no problem?
Yeah. I mean, like, they're going to have this third-party test done. I spoke with the school board president when I was down there. And his take was like, I asked him, like, what do you do if the tests come back and they are positive? And he was just sort of like, I don't know. I mean, do we have to like, you know, call on local churches? And like put like one grade in one church and one grade in another. Like, I don't know. It's just like that sort of a challenge is hard to even begin to wrap your mind around when the challenge of just figuring out what's the problem in the first place is so seemingly tough to handle.
I read in a Slate report that a Piketon Village councilwoman, Jennifer Chandler, mm-hmm. I correct myself, it was CNN, told CNN that at some point the community has to trust the scientists who are doing the calculations. And I wondered, what about the trust levels in the community at this point? What is your sense about that?
I think that if they can find a firm to do the testing, that is, that they feel confident isn't directly connected to the Department of Energy, they will be more than happy to listen to what that you know firm has to say. If you play it out, right? If the firm comes back and says, listen, we went through the whole school, we didn't find anything more that causes us pause. Is a parent still going to want to send their kid there, yeah, even if they have that? I don't know.
Well,
you know?
Coming up, I'm going to be talking to the Pike County, the health commissioner for the Pike County General Health District, and talk to them about, you know, the relative dangers to children versus adults and that kind of a thing. So, Nick Evans, I want to thank you right now for joining us. I appreciate your time today.
Absolutely.
Nick Evans is WSU reporter covering the news that a Pike County middle school earlier this week closed amid concerns about potential radioactive contamination from the nearby Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. That's a Cold War era plant. It's on 3,000 acres in Pike County. In 2001, it ceased production of weapons grade enriched uranium. A cleanup of the site has been underway since 2011. Coming up, we're going to talk to the health commissioner from Pike County, so stay with us. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
In WOSU Public Media's newest podcast series, Rivet, young people share their unique pathways to professional success. Listen to This American Graduate Project. Find Rivet now in WOSU's mobile app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Zahn's Corner Middle School in Piketon shut its doors for the summer about 8 days early. Officials closed the school early because of possible radioactive contamination. The school is about 5 miles from the nearby Portsmouth Gaseous Diffusion Plant. The Cold War era plant sits on 3,000 acres and in 2001 ceased production of weapons-grade enriched uranium. A cleanup of the site has been underway since 2011. Joining us by phone is Health Commissioner for Pike County General Health District, Matt Brewster. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann.
Pike County's cancer incidence rate is the second highest in the state. Are people making a connection between that and the gaseous diffusion plant?
That's been a claim that has been made for years, honestly, between the connection between the A plant. I'll call it the A plant because I was born and raised in Pike County, so that's what we called it back then. So that's okay. What I'll refer to it as is the A plant. But there's always been a connection. There's been a lot of concern, a lot of people that's worked there, that's lived there, that's had cancer, not just a lot of cancer, but different types of cancer. As far as those rare leukemias that shouldn't really occur, shouldn't occur in places unless you live close to a site like we do, unfortunately. But unfortunately, there hasn't been, to my knowledge, a real in-depth cancer study to really connect the dots. It's always been, known that's a likely cause or a concern, but there's never been any concrete evidence, to support that other than, when you talk to the public, they can rattle off name after name of young people, middle-aged, older people that's all been affected. Whether it's from the plant, we don't have enough information, but, it's a logical explanation.
Whose role would it be to conduct further investigation of that issue?
We are currently, we're in the process, obviously, of figuring out how to go about sampling the school and the surrounding areas to figure out extent, source, and levels, and then potential remediation. But the whole cancer issue is a whole separate.
Right.
It will be a whole separate front that we have to address. And we're getting a lot of Facebook messages, a lot of calls, lots of calls. And so we're going to have to. We actually do have an epidemiologist on staff that we have been in contact with, along with the Ohio Department of Health. So we're going to get the ball rolling to start a cancer cluster study. Because at this point, this is the perfect time, if there's ever going to be one done.
Yeah.
With everything that's going on. And so there's some paperwork required, but we're going to get that started and see what it'll be a tough study because you've had people that's lived here for 10 years and worked there and then they've moved away. And it'll be easy for the local people that's lived here, that's worked there, that's retired from there, or people that's lived there for 10 or 20 years to figure out those things. But it'll be a huge undertaking, but we're willing to get that ball rolling to try to figure out and get some answers.
The school closed 8 days early, of course, before summer. But there are people who live closer to the plant than even the school is situated. What role did you play in the district making the decision to shut the school down early?
The main decision was actually the school board. They had the information. We presented the information that we had based off the ACER report. And then more concerning is the Northern Arizona University report that talks about the enriched uranium in the school and private properties and neptunium levels above background in Little Beaver Creek and actually going into the Scioto River. So a lot more extensive contamination in that NAU report. So basically with that information, we've met regularly since all this came out, back in, around April 23rd, April 24th, and we had our public meeting the 27th. So we've been involved from the beginning, and it was just basically that we gave them the information, and then they made the decision, based on, it's not an acceptable risk. Kids don't have a choice whether to go to school or not. So it made sense, in this situation for sure.
And so for the people who live close to the plant, are they asking you for advice?
Yes, we're getting, again, a lot of calls, a lot of messages that, hey, Zahn's Corner let out. You've also got the Pike County Trade School, which is close. You've got a community or Head Start Community Action School close. You've got a private school, Miracle City Academy, close. So there's a lot of things. It's not just Zahn's Corner at this point. The only reason they're kind of in the forefront is because that's the only place there were wipe samples taken inside of a building. So the extent and what that looks like, but there's a lot of concern, rightfully so, from the community that says, hey, my house is you know, I'm a fence line neighbor.
Yeah.
So in the plan for the sampling, all that will be included and accounted for so we can really get a good picture because, you know, in my opinion, we're not going to have another chance where DOE says, hey, we're going to fund this study for you, kind of an open checkbook to figure out what's going on. And if it's not done right the first time and we say, hey, we want to do it a little different,
uh-huh.
I'm sure they're not going to say, well, yeah, let's, you know, here's another check. Let's start over. So we got to get all our ducks in a row and really go about it scientifically so we can get scientifically, you know, significantly statistics that are significant and good, accurate, honest data.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the news of the Pike County Middle School closing earlier this week amid concerns about potential radioactive contamination from the nearby Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. It's been around since the mid-1950s. It sits on 3,000 acres in Pike County. In 2001, it ceased production of weapons-grade enriched uranium. A cleanup of the site has been underway since 2011. We're talking right now with Matt Brewster. He's health commissioner for the Pike County General Health District. If you have a question or comment for Matt Brewster, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm still curious about the timing of this, given the fact that this data that spurred the conversations in April goes all the way back to 2017, 2 years ago. And Nick Evans, a WSU reporter, just explained that, well, things take time, but it would seem like to me that there'd be like a trigger that something would say when you do find something, the community ought to know. What do you know, Matt Brewster, about what the community is entitled to know when the Department of Energy knows it?
Right. And it is frustrating for us that the data, the neptunium hit at the school was in 2017, September of 17. You know, whether that level, whatever that level was, you know, just as far as from a communication standpoint, Department of Energy should have put a letter out to the school and said, hey, the ACER is going to be coming out. Actually, they should have notified them as soon as it happened, say, hey, there was a hit of neptunium and this is what it meant.
Yeah.
Maybe send a letter home so the community knows to prevent, you know, people getting all worried and, you know, if it doesn't mean anything.
Because, of course, they have said that the levels that they've detected or have detected so far are not dangerous, according to the DOE.
Correct, according to their ACER report. Yeah. But the thing they won't comment on yet is the NAU report. And, you know, that's we've published.
The Northern Arizona University, right, yeah.
Correct. So that's good science, and they say, you know, we want more data. But when you look through there, the purpose of the NAU report, it shows that there's contamination off-site and that it's coming from, you know, the production at the plant.
Were you alerted to this from the Northern Arizona University report or something else?
Yes, as far as we had the neptunium, obviously, in the ACER report 2017 mm-hmm. data. And then there were, at the same time that this report came out, the timing ended up just being perfect. Northern Arizona was actually, they had received samples from a local, you know, basically she's a scientist. And so she had been taking samples herself because she was concerned with what was going on. So she had taken samples different places, including you know, Zons Corner Middle School, and she sent those to them, and they agreed to work pro bono. So they're the ones, they did all the sampling, you know, formatted and wrote the report. And then that report's up for, it's going to be up for scientific publication, and it's going to be a peer-reviewed article. So this isn't something that, you know, it's not the case of where we have somebody taking samples in a milk jug and sending them off to some lab that's not accredited. All this work was accredited. Every sample she took was, you know, sampled, then verified, and then actually sent to a third party or a referee lab, you know, to confirm again. So these things were checked three times, you know, before we felt comfortable with, you know, going with that data. And our stance is the NAU report is accurate. It's and that's really what we're basing a lot of these decisions on. Besides the neptunium, that shows a lot of stuff, but it ties in well because you have neptunium in the air monitor, and then you also have, you know, neptunium levels well above background, you know, coming off of runoff in the into Little Beaver Creek from the on-site disposal cell, and then rich uranium in private homes, including the school.
I'm not sure whether it's you or other local officials have asked the Department of Energy to cease the decommissioning and decontamination process at the plant until things are resolved, until you know more. What is your thoughts about the DOE refusing to cease that construction?
To me, with ceasing, you know, and we've asked, the health district has asked multiple times. We went to D.C. We had a declaration that was signed and we presented to all the Ohio delegation. And then we've asked Ann White repeatedly, you know, let's stop. You know, we say that it's, you know, your activities are more than likely causing this contamination. And we've got this sampling that's going to be coming down the pipe. Let's go ahead and, you know, stop what you're doing until we get those results. They've refused time and time again. And to me, that's frustrating. And it really puts the liability on back on DOE that, you know, everything they're doing down there at this point, you know, we've said stop. And, you know, we don't have any say inside the fence, but anything outside, which is what we're talking about, becomes the health district, you know, our jurisdiction. And we're saying stop what you're doing, and they're saying no, we're not going to stop. So to me, the liability increases with each shovel, you know, of dirt that they move, and every time they run a dozer through there or do anything, their liability increases exponentially. Because if with this new sampling, if it comes out that it's as widespread as we think it is, then people are going to say, well, you know, you were told to stop and you guys kept doing this and you kept contaminating all along. So to us, there's not, you know, they say they can't do it. And our question is why. And they don't have a good answer as far as why they can't that. They can't stop.
What is your sense about the response from the elected delegation in Washington? You know, how Senators Portman and Brown have responded.
To me, they're toeing the DOE line. You know, they're not really, in my opinion, they're not working for the constituents or for our public or as near as concerned as the health and safety of Pike County as they should be. I mean, I think that if this was a different area, you know, if we're in Upper Arlington or Dublin or Powell, I think people would be looking at this a lot closer. I don't think there would be a question as far as should we stop the contamination. You know, and that's frustrating because, you know, they work for us. They should stand up and at least, at the very least, say, hey, let's just stop what we're doing until we figure out we're going to have data in 30 days. What's the harm in stopping work there for 30 days? So there's absolutely, from the governor down, there has not been a response that we are happy with as far as supporting what we're calling for, as far as stopping and figuring out what's going on.
The Trump administration has announced back in January that it intended to invest $115 million over the next 3 years to reopen a uranium enrichment plant in southern Ohio. Is that the one we're talking about right now?
Yes, there. And again, they always, every time it's so political, you know, every time there's a presidential race or any kind of race, everybody says, well, we're going to do whatever it takes to get Piketon up and running, and we're going to guarantee these jobs. And again, it's a lot of fluff because it never comes to fruition. You know, Piketon's been used and abused, and our community has been over the years, and that's no different. So that's what they're referring to. But again, it's more of a political, you know, let's get Southern Ohio to vote for us, you know, kind of issue, unfortunately.
Yeah, they do refer specifically to jobs in this article in the Columbus Dispatch. They're saying it could result in 60 new jobs initially. That's according to Senator Rob Portman. He asked the Energy Secretary Rick Perry last year to reevaluate the decision to end the demonstration program and what they call the demonstration program in Piketon.
Right.
What was that?
Basically, that was a program. It was the ACP, American Centrifuge. So basically, they were, you know, enriching uranium in a process basically for commercial production to be used in nuclear energy, you know, type of things. And basically, the deal was there, you guys, Piketon, you know, prove that it works, and then we're going to guarantee you these jobs. Well, Piketon proved that it worked, and then they shipped the technology down to Oak Ridge, and that's where the jobs went to. So it's again,
okay.
You know, that another issue with that.
Hmm. What's the next step, Matt Brewster? Just wait and see at this point?
Yeah, where we're at now is we're, like I said, we're in the process. We're going to try to find an independent third-party contractor to start the sampling and to try to get results back in time so Zahn's Corner and the other schools can plan accordingly, that if it comes back that there are issues and the kids can't go back there, that they have time to get a plan. So that's our process. The trouble we're running into is, you know, we're talking to these labs and we tell them what's going on, and they're interested to start with, and then they realize – well, it's, you know, they don't want to go against the DOE.
The big guy.
We've heard that
right.
with three different labs. So that's where their bread and butter is. So it's going to be hard for us to find, and I worry just about finding a truly independent third party that can be unbiased in this situation, because it needs to, we want accurate data. So at the end, there's not any question that there was any fudged numbers or anything like that. That way, it's got to be something the community at this point trusts, because there's no trust currently with DOE, right, wrong, or indifferent. There isn't. And we got to have a report at the end of the day that tells us what's going on, and then we can figure out, you know, how to fix it.
Matt Brewster, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I appreciate your.
Yep, thank you very much.
Matt Brewster is health commissioner for the Pike County General Health District. We are talking about the decision earlier this week to shutter a middle school in Pike County. It's located about 5 miles from a Cold War era gaseous diffusion plant, a nuclear gaseous diffusion plant. Are talking about what's happening right now on that 3,000 acres. In 2001, they ceased production of weapons-grade enriched uranium, and a cleanup of the site has been underway since 2011. Coming up, we're going to hear from a former lead scientist at the Portsmouth plant. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Trace amounts of radioactive materials have been detected inside and outside a middle school in Pike County in southern Ohio, just a few miles from the nearby Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. The Cold War era plant ceased production of weapons-grade enriched uranium in 2001. Cleanup efforts at the complex began in 2012. Residents are concerned, especially about the welfare of children who attend that middle school, which closed early due to the revelations of contamination. Today on All Sides, we're talking about what's next for Pike County and Portsmouth. Joining us now is former lead scientist at the Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant, David Minuta. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
The Department of Energy is saying that these levels of materials are below public health concern thresholds. So why should anyone be concerned? That's what the thresholds were established for, right?
The short answers are going to be no and yes. Yes, that's what the thresholds were established for, but no, contrary to what DOE is telling people, those radioisotopes are not natural. And we've got to be very specific that the Department of Energy, as Mr. Brewster and other speakers have indicated, generally does not come clean. You can't, in terms of the two primaries, and then there's some others, the enriched uranium is the product that we've made at the Portsmouth plant at various times since the early 50s. But any amount of neptunium just basically sets off alarms and sirens for me. And with respect to the people at DOE, I probably have forgotten more about what goes on in nuclear energy than the typical senior level official over there. So I'm actually appalled that they would attempt yet again to placate the people of Pike County.
Any amount of neptunium. Neptunium is a side or is the result of enriching the uranium, right? That's why you're saying it's not natural.
Actually, that answer is no as well.
Okay.
When we refer to something that's natural, as in naturally occurring, in the case of uranium, there's a finite amount of uranium in the soil. You go out west where mining is done, there are actually mines that are dedicated to extracting uranium from the ore. Neptunium has to be prepared in a reactor. And the last time I checked, there weren't any reactors in high schools. So DOE is being disingenuous when they're trying to nonchalant and brush this thing off, when the fact is I question what the origin of it is to begin with, knowing how it has to be made. And beyond that, we're dealing with children.
What is the significance of the fact that we're dealing with children? Are they more susceptible to the contamination?
The short answer is yes, and that's because human cells in growing children are multiplying much more rapidly than the same cells are in adults. And so the fact is the impacts would be much greater on children and on pregnant women.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the news that a middle school in Pike County is closed after trace amounts of radioactive materials were detected inside and outside the school. It's just a few miles from the nearby Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. It's a Cold War era plant that ceased production of weapons grade enriched uranium in 2001. My guest is David Minuta. He's a former lead scientist at the Portsmouth plant. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. David Minuta, a quick primer on why uranium is enriched and what does it mean to enrich uranium?
And I'm very glad that you asked that. Uranium is element number 92 in the periodic table. And the natural uranium is uranium-238. So that means 92 protons, 146 neutrons. It was determined during the Manhattan Project, so we're going back 75 years ago, that the uranium-235 isotope could be split, in other words, fission energy. And ultimately, it's that technology that was first deployed over Hiroshima, and then later on we now use for generating electricity in nuclear power plants. And so anyway, just to put it in perspective, the ore that comes out of the ground is about 99.3% uranium-238. The 235 has fewer neutrons, so 143 neutrons. Only about 0.7% of the ore out of the ground contains the uranium-235. So in order to use it, whether it's in a commercial reactor or in a weapon, is we have to concentrate the uranium-235 isotope. And that process is called enrichment.
How does it happen?
Well, at the plant that I worked at, what we call gaseous diffusion, what we would do is we would make a compound called uranium hexafluoride, so UF6.
Yep.
UF6 is the only uranium compound that can easily vaporize.
Are you there?
Yeah, that's just our fax machine.
Okay,
so anyway, that's the last beep from the fax,
okay.
And then we're back.
Okay,
that's the occupational hazard of getting me in the office.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so anyway... what happens is when you vaporize the uranium hexafluoride, the feed material will be primarily the uranium in the 238 form. What you're doing in gaseous diffusion is doing a separation, and that separation is going to be based on the weight of the two different uranium compounds. So in other words, the 235F6 will actually diffuse a little bit faster through the cascade, which is the system of piping, cells, converters, compressors, and so on. And the object is it took about 2,000 of these separation units in order to separate out the uranium-238 F-6 from the uranium-235 F-6. And so the process that we did at Portsmouth, if you've been to the site, you realize it's a gigantic site, mm-hmm. because you've got to be able to do enough of these separation steps so that you can cleanly manufacture and then separate the uranium-235 F-6 from the uranium-238 F-6. So the plant is an engineering marvel. And I'm thinking that the lay citizen who's listening to this interview is probably hearing about the unclassified details of this technology for the first time. But it's extremely important to recognize that this required a great deal of energy. Now, I think Mr. Brewster referred to the centrifuge. The centrifuge is currently, there's been testing, and he's correct about the political issues. The centrifuge would use much less energy to produce the U-235 F-6 than the gaseous diffusion technology that I grew up with. So I think it's important for people to recognize how the two discussions fit together.
And just to give people a better idea of the size of this place, I read from the Department of Energy, they describe it. They said it includes three massive gaseous diffusion process buildings that housed the process equipment and span the size of 158 football fields. Just to give people a sense of the scope of that size. What about, David Minuta, contamination within the plant? Now, they're decontaminating it. They're decommissioning it right now, I guess. They've continued to do this. Does the public have a right to know what kind of contamination may be occurring inside those fences?
Inside and outside, yes. And in fact, one of the issues with DOE is that they be more transparent. You make measurements, you identify what's there. As long as what you've identified is not critical to national security or in any other way would need to be protected by classification, mm-hmm. then that information should be disseminated to the public.
I read in a December 2015 Slate article that dubious record-keeping practices, and those are words in the article, and erratic radiation monitoring suggest that assumptions by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health are way off when it came to health claims. They've denied many, many, many health claims from this complex. What is known about record-keeping and monitoring there?
And I'm once again very glad that you asked, because unfortunately it has not been good. And I speak to you now in addition to the former chief scientist at the site. I'm also a recognized expert witness in the courts. And anyway, when you have incomplete documentation, it means that you really can't draw any type of expert conclusions or give an opinion that the lawyers and the judges can hang their hats on.
So why was there dubious record-keeping practices and erratic radiation monitoring? How do we know that that's the case there?
The fact of the matter is that when people like me would do investigative work, we would realize that people were getting massive exposures to various types of isotopes. And there were various contractors at Portsmouth. Back in the day, it was Goodyear. After the mid-80s, it was Martin Marietta. After the merger with Lockheed, there was Lockheed Martin. And then in more recent times, the United States Enrichment Corporation. All of these organizations worked off of contracts with DOE and its predecessors. So with the Atomic Energy Commission and with the Energy Research and Development Administration. And, of course, what I'm going to tell you, and this comes as someone who's become cynical of how government operates, especially in this environment, is any time the contractors had to report that there were severe incidents, they would, under normal conditions, receive an award fee, which could be in the multi-millions of dollars. So there was actually an economic incentive not to do a lot of accurate reporting because it was more important to get the big check from your government patron than it was to look out for the health, safety, and welfare of your employees, or in this case, contract employees. So the fact of the matter is, I think there was a recognition at some level that the radiation exposures were high, but that we're dealing typically with lay people. And so, in other words, I only find out about some of this when I'm hired on as an expert witness, and I hear what the worker did, and then I find out when I check the records that there wasn't an incident report or any type of other documentation, because unfortunately the emphasis was on maximizing the award fee and not in looking out for the people who made the process work.
How, if somebody is contaminated in a plant like that, a worker is contaminated, how are they decontaminated before they come back out into the community?
And very good question, and I want to answer that in two ways, if I can. One is you're supposed to monitor out of a work area with radiation-detecting equipment. And you may need to be scrubbed down or showered so that there would be some minimal acceptable level left on you. I know of many examples where after multiple efforts, the person doing the inspection would say, the instruments aren't reading correctly, so you're free to go now.
You mean they didn't? It was inconclusive, and so just leave?
That's correct. But beyond that is we know of examples where people have contaminated their cars. They've gone home. They've contaminated the home. When they would do laundry, they would contaminate the laundry in the house, because most people washed all of their the family's clothes together.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a clear problem, not only at Portsmouth, but throughout the country, is tracking the contamination off-site.
And is it just as much of a danger as they decommission the plant as it was when the plant was operating and enriching the uranium?
And that's another fantastic question. I believe, and again, and I'm coming at this from 40 years of experience and a PhD, which most of the career people in DOE do not have, is today most of the managers involved in the D&D activities were not there during normal production. And the net result is workers are oftentimes being asked to do things that are dangerous. And so years since I retired, I still get calls from the union. I've been asked to do this. Is it safe to do this? That answer is not always yes.
David Minuta, thank you so much for joining us today. David Minuta is the former lead scientist at the Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant in Pike County, Ohio. Thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
You're very, very welcome.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.